What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Mongols podcast. I'm Mike, he's Kev. Coming up on today's show, Drew Russell stops by to chat with us, and we'll preview this weekend's matchup against TFC2. Let's go!
Can you believe that, guys?
No, I mean, that is the craziest sequence of events we've seen in quite a period of time.
In the top right corner, gentlemen, out to the middle, back to
Kev, I mentioned a few times this season that up to this point, you know, if/when I get a Hounds jersey, it's going to be a Drew Russell jersey. You know, so far he's been one of the few standout players in my mind, and has really impressed on both sides of the ball. So, needless to say, I was thrilled to learn that we'd have a chance to talk to him today. Drew, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So, in preparation for this interview, I was doing a little poking around online, a little bit of online research. I looked at your Twitter, and I have to ask, we'll start off maybe with an easy question. Are you a Liverpool fan, by chance?
Yes, a diehard Liverpool fan. Reds all day, so.
You have instantly become my favorite player, like, head and shoulders above everyone else. I'm a massive Liverpool fan, and so I guess I have to ask, I don't know if you have an eye on the big match tomorrow. I don't know if you're going to be able to maybe watch it or not. I don't know. Thoughts? Do you think Liverpool are going to win?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I definitely think we have a few key guys that are going to be returning for the match. Eric Condu is one of my favorite players. Hopefully we'll be back in the lineup, so I hope tomorrow we come out with the win.
Great. That's just that's I'm good. That made my interview. I can walk away. Yeah.
Drew, just to put this in perspective, when Kevin learned that Rob Vincent was from Liverpool, he was like, "Oh, this is great. He's going to be my favorite player." And when he heard that he's an Everton fan, yeah. Kevin was like, "That's it. Done. Yeah, done. I hate him. He's off my list." So, yes.
Yeah, me and Rob, we were locker mates last year. We would always give each other a hard time about being a Liverpool fan and him being an Everton fan, and so we would always have good banter in the locker room.
That's awesome.
The Blues aren't catching up anytime soon. I think we're all right.
So, Drew, you know, just going back a little bit, you were born in Texas, but then moved to Iowa when you're young. How does a kid from Iowa go on to play soccer in Germany and eventually make your way back to the States? You know, can you tell us a little bit about your background?
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, I was born in Texas. I was adopted there, and my parents, they always love soccer and love sports and everything. And so, I ended up moving to Iowa, playing for a team in Cedar Rapids, and was just playing soccer, and I was, the competition isn't that great, and so my dream was always playing Europe, and my dad ended up running into one of his buddies whose kid he played over at 1860 Munich, and was asking if, I'd be interested in going for a trial, and so my dad was like, yeah, definitely, he'd definitely be up for it, and so ended up going over there, trialed with three different teams, ended up with 1860 Munich and was only there for a few months, but it was a great experience for me. And so it was definitely a weird situation, but I'm glad I had the opportunity.
Yeah, it almost sounds like the stars aligned. It just sort of, yeah. And there you go. You mentioned, that you were adopted. I think I read somewhere, do you have 10 adopted brothers and sisters?
Yes, I do. I have 10 altogether. So yeah, it's awesome.
So did you hone your skills more on the playing field or in like the backyard with the crew?
I'd say both. I mean, we definitely had some epic soccer matches. I mean, everybody in my family played. We were all very competitive and very good soccer players. So definitely both at home and then, you know, with my team as well.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's awesome.
It seems like you've kind of bounced around in a couple different positions on the pitch so far this season. I think you came back and a lot of us kind of expected you maybe at fullback, and you really impressed there and kind of showed your ability of being able to go forward as well. And I think maybe a bit more recently, we've seen you maybe starting up higher up the pitch, maybe in midfield or even in attack. if you could pick maybe one position that you would say you're most comfortable with, or you know, what would you say, how would you describe is your position and the position you feel, yeah, most at home with, I guess?
I definitely say outside back, just playing right back, because I like to get, like you said, up and down and crossing in balls and, like, setting people up. I mean, I don't mind playing midfield or forward. I played both. Like, when I was in Germany playing with 1860, I was the striker there. And so Coach Mark, he likes to bounce me around a lot, but, you know, I just do whatever he asks me to do. So whatever the team needs, that's just what I do, so.
It absolutely shows. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, there seems to be a few players on this team, you know, you being one of them, that really stands out, that has sort of the you're like the jack of all trades, where you could play the defense, you just sort of fill in where needs be. No, that's great. And you mentioned Coach Mark, you know, this is your second team under him. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, your relationship and what it's like to play under him, and, you know, was he the reason for you coming to Pittsburgh?
Coach Mark, he really gave me my first chance at playing in the USL. I was going to Charlotte. I was on trial with that team. Ended up having an injury before they were even having a chance to look at me. So Coach Mark, you know, he saw something in me where he still wanted to sign me. And then after the season, he was telling me about, you know, him coming to Pittsburgh and him wanting to bring me along, and just him having the confidence in me, even though I've had, you know, numerous injuries and everything, just made me want to come and play for him. And so we have a really, really good relationship, me and him. He understands where I'm coming from, and I understand his coaching philosophies, and so we just work really well together.
Well, and I have to ask, how are you finding living in Pittsburgh? Are you getting settled? Is everything going okay? And
Yeah, I love it here. I mean, it's a sports city, and so I'm from a small town in Mount Vernon, Iowa, where the biggest thing we get to see is the Hawkeyes play. And so being able to come and see a Steelers match, a Pens match, and then a Pirates match, I mean, I'm going to, like, games every other week. So I just can't get enough of it. And the city is just beautiful, so I love it here.
That's the best thing to hear from a Pittsburgh local. That's great.
Do you get out with other guys on the team? Like, is there one guy in particular that you buddy up with, or is it a crew, or you just go solo?
No, I mix it around with a whole bunch of different guys, but I'd have to say I hang out with probably Lebo. Actually, we're over at my place right now. I just killed him in FIFA, beat him 3-0.
Who's your FIFA team?
Liverpool all day.
Yes. Yes.
Who does Lebo play as?
He played as PSG right now, so we just got done. He lost 3-0, so you know how that goes.
Oh, that's great. So I guess, yeah, a lot of things are up in the air at the moment. No secret that the results haven't necessarily been going the way that we would like. What's it kind of like in the locker room right now? Is the dynamic kind of different than last season? You know, how are the players and the coaching staff kind of reacting to the current situation?
Yeah, I mean, we're all a bit frustrated and just, you know, trying to work out, like, what's going wrong. And so it's a little bit frustrating, but at the same time, like, we've analyzed the games and we realize, like, we're not getting killed by these teams. These teams aren't, you know, like, better than us. We're just not finding the results. And definitely, like, this year compared to last year, like, we're a better, like, defensive team. We've been keeping the scores down, but we just need to find that offensive spark. And so that's why Coach Mark has been making some changes with some guys, you know, like moving me up the field possibly to see how that would work. So I'm just trying to figure it out, but definitely frustrated, but at the same time trying to keep positive and moving forward, because that's all you really can do at this point.
Yeah, I mean, we've covered all of the games so far for the Hounds this season, but we've also gone and watched a bunch of the games of teams before you guys play them to sort of do a little preview show. And the thing that we're seeing is that it doesn't seem that any team in this league is beatable. You guys are really, really close to cracking this. And so, you know, it'll be great.
Now, you said any team is beatable. No team is unbeatable, I guess is what you should have said. Yeah, you said, like, no team is beatable. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's an impossible it's an impossible league. You're never going to win. No, I'm just kidding. but, you know, speaking a little bit about, you know, teams we've seen before, you guys were just in Cincinnati. They dubbed it as, quote-unquote, the rivalry. What was it like playing in front of, you know, 23,000 people in to the players? Did it feel like a rivalry game, or is it maybe something else?
It was definitely an amazing experience. I'll never forget it, because I've never played in front of a crowd that big, and it was an amazing experience. I mean, I would say definitely it's a rivalry match, but I still love the Harrisburg Pittsburgh rivalry and everything, and so, but I mean that playing in front of that many people just took it to a different level. And I think it's just great for the league, great for us. I mean, obviously we didn't come out with the result we wanted, but I think, you know, after leaving there, they definitely respect us. And, you know, we look forward to them coming back here and us playing against them again.
And so turning now, I guess, with an eye on Toronto FC2, how's the team preparing for the match? Is there anyone maybe in particular you guys are keeping an eye out for on their team? I remember last time out when you guys played them, it was a pretty exciting last-minute kind of set play to equalize. How are you guys feeling going into this game?
Yeah, we're definitely getting prepared for it. I mean, we have a game on Wednesday, tomorrow, our Open Cup match. So we've been prepared for that, but also we've been keeping an eye on the TFC game. And it's a game that we definitely feel like we need to win, like we have to win. And a lot of guys in the locker room are just, you know, really getting anxious, you know, to get 3 points in the league. And we feel like, you know, against Toronto FC, we should be able to do that. And one of the guys we've been keeping an eye on their team is this kid named Edwards. He's a left midfielder, very, very fast. Last game he caused us a whole bunch of problems. I wasn't able to make to the match. I was out with an injury, but just doing a scouting report on him and then a few of the other different guys that are dangerous. But overall, I mean, we're going in with confidence and feeling like this is a game where we definitely have to pick up our first 3 points.
I remember you weren't in the game last time. You aren't going to be matched up with Edwards, are you? Are you guys on opposite sides of the field? Or do you not know yet?
It depends on where I'm playing. So as of right now, I've been playing, like last game against Cincinnati, I was playing left mid. So I'm not sure if that's what's in coach's plans for this weekend, but if I'm playing right back. So if I'm playing right back and he's a left midfielder, then us two will be going up against each other. So
okay, well, shut him down, man. Shut him down. You got it.
Yeah.
You got this.
So, no pressure or anything. Yeah,
no pressure. You could take him. Let's be honest. So one of the things that we like to do, we've had a few other players on before as we do this little lightning round where we ask simple A or B questions and we time you. We basically put 30 seconds on the clock and we see how many A or B questions you can get through. And so Corey Herzog came on, he got 11. Hunter Gilstrap was on, he got 7. So those are your numbers to beat. Do you think you're ready for the lightning round? All right. Here we go. You ready?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to start the clock. Here we go. Blue or yellow?
Blue.
Derby or Darby?
Derby.
Cake or pie?
Pie.
Offense or defense?
Offense.
City Islanders or FC Cincinnati?
City Islanders.
Turf or grass?
Grass all day.
Riverhounds or Hounds?
Riverhounds.
Captain America or Iron Man?
Iron Man.
Soccer or football?
Football.
All right.
Nice. So you got 8. You got 8. You beat Hunter.
You beat Hunter. That's good. Awesome.
Hey, I'll take being a goalkeeper any day.
On and off the field. Perfect. Well, again, you know, thank you for coming on. Everyone, be sure to check out Drew on Twitter, at D17Soccer. I noticed on there you said you wish to own a minion someday. Just one minion? You don't want, like, a whole army like Gru?
I mean, I feel weird just having a whole bunch of them surrounding me. I think one personal one would just do for me.
I guess it would be kind of weird walking around having a whole, like, a whole crew of them just following you around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I love them. I love the movies, everything about them. So I even got one in my room. So.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, my kids are big fans, and when I sat down to watch, I'm like, this is genuinely hysterical. Like, this is amazing. Yep. So I totally sympathize with that. So, yeah, big game. You know, you mentioned tomorrow or Wednesday against Lansdowne Boys. You know, best of luck with that. Obviously, the game this weekend against TFC2, everybody needs to come out, support you guys. Let's bring home 2 wins this week. I think it'll be great. Yeah, know that no matter what happens, you know, the fans, the city, everybody is behind you guys. We know that you guys are in a slump, but you guys are going to work your way out of it. So, you know, thank you. Thank you again for talking to us, and best of luck this week and the rest of the season.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. All right. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back.
We'd love to hear from you. Find us on Twitter at Mongols, on Facebook at Mongols, and email us at howl@mongols.com. Any questions, comments, or reactions read on air could win you your own Riverhounds jersey. Thanks!
And we're back. That was really cool, talking to Drew Russell.
That was amazing.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah.
The fact that Lebo's just hanging out in the background after getting beat in FIFA. So cool.
Yeah, I know. I mean, all the interviews we've been doing, they've all been amazing. But, you know, Drew is the best for reasons I made apparent in the interview. So, you know.
It has absolutely nothing to do with his European club that he follows. but I think the cool thing is, and this is one of the things that we said that we're trying to get across with the podcast, is that these guys are people. Like, they're real people with real backstories and real friendships and like, you know, establish that connection. They're cool people. Now, when you look at Drew, you're going to know he's a Liverpool fan who beats Lebo in FIFA and goes to sporting events all over the city. And
has
awesome.
Has an amazing, like, growing up story. I mean, that's incredible. I mean, to jump around to the places he did and to have that many brothers and sisters and to go train in Germany. And I mean, that's great.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, thanks again, Drew, for talking to us. A congratulations also goes out to Mauricio Vargas. He was named to the USL Team of the Week this week after getting the start in Cincy. He saved 8 of 9 shots in the game against Cincinnati, which is the most by a Houndskeeper this season and in the past 3 years. So, kudos to you, Mauricio. I don't know what it says about the number of shots that we're letting at him, but, you know, regardless, he made the saves, which is great.
Absolutely well deserved, and you know, who knows how many, if we're being honest, who knows how many player of the weeks we're gonna get in the coming games. So we gotta celebrate this one for sure.
Yeah. So this show, excuse me, is being released right around the same time as we're playing the Lansdowne Boys. So we're not gonna have a recap of that. We can talk about that this weekend. Let's get right into the preview of TFC 2. So TFC2 are coming to Highmark this weekend. This is our second time, the second and last time that we're playing them this year. So the last time we played them was just basically a little over a month ago, April 17th in Toronto. That was a 2-2 draw. That game, you know, as Drew said, there was no Kevin Kerr because of green card issues, no Lebo Maloto, no Drew because he was hurt, and no Sergio Campbell. So we were down 4 of our top players in that game. And we still rolled out a competitive lineup, and it was an entertaining game. Kev, you know, there were some takeaways here from the game that we sort of went back and listened to. Why don't you dive into some of those?
I mean, yeah, actually, before even getting to that, yeah, I think the TFC2 game stands out in my mind the most out of all the games we've played so far, as I think we were the most competitive in that game, from what I recall. And especially, you know, with all the people that we're missing, I think that just, you know, speaks to how good we played on that day. You know, getting that kind of last minute free kick draw with Branson's free kick was a great experience. And I don't know, I'm just putting myself back in the mindset I was when we were watching that game and reviewing that game, and remember thinking, you know, I was feeling pretty optimistic about that game. So hopefully some of the same good positive feelings can kind of get stirred up for for this one around. But yeah, I mean, one of the takeaways, just to kind of kick off. Yeah, I mean, once the Hounds settled down and kind of maintained possession, you know, we really started to dominate the game. I think we saw that not only in this game, but the games kind of that happened around this. We saw the Hounds have a lot more possession than I think what we've been currently seeing. That might be something, you know, that's an obvious indicator of, you know, maybe we do need to try to get back to something like that, even though we've kind of been talking about different kind of counterattacking direct style of play recently. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, no, I think one of the things going into the first TFC game was, I think we were both looking at it and thinking that TFC was a really, really good team because we watched them beat Montreal the week before. Little did we know that, you know, 6 or 7 weeks into the season, Montreal still doesn't have a win. And so it may be that TFC too isn't that great of a team. They just look good next to Montreal. But no, the thing in the last game when we played them, and it's been a trend throughout most of the games so far this season, is the Hounds seem to start slow. And they definitely settled into the game as it wore on. And so we were sort of under pressure a little bit early on. We did get an early goal. But then as we calmed down, I remember specifically saying, like, we flipped the switch. Like, it was almost like we said, okay, this is our game now. We're going to take possession. And we just did it. And TFC didn't have a chance. And so, yeah, we'll see what happens. That was some of the takeaways from the last game. Since that game, you know, the Hounds and TFC 2 have been on sort of a similar trajectory. So since that game, the Hounds have lost, tied, lost. TFC 2 lost all of their games except for one, which they won. And they lost to some teams that we drew against, specifically Louisville and Charleston. They lost 2-0 both to Louisville and Charleston. Their only win came, it was a 1-0 win against Richmond, who they had played 2 weeks before, and so they were familiar with them, and they actually lost 2 weeks before to them. So, you know, TFC 2 is definitely, I mean, in terms of the form that we're in right now, if we're looking for a team to beat, TFC 2 is a pretty good team to go up against to try to get that first win. They've lost both of the times on the road since they played us as well. So, you know, they're coming to Highmark. This is a good chance to get 3 points. This is definitely doable.
Yeah, and like I said, I mean, you know, I could arguably say that our best game was against them. I don't know. What can you, thinking back, I don't know, do you have another opinion on that? Do you think maybe we had a better game against someone else? I don't know. I'm struggling to think of it.
We've been so sporadic that
we have been, yeah.
To think about a consistent 90-minute game where I think we've had our best game. No, I mean, I think especially in that second half against TFC 2 that we probably had one of our best games.
Especially because you might have mentioned TFC 2 got their second goal from a PK that really wasn't a PK in my opinion. Yeah. And I mean, I think their first goal was kind of soft as well. So yeah. And it was one of our games where, you know, we haven't scored many goals this season. We scored 2 in this one. I mean, I don't know. I have a lot of positive feelings around, you know, when we played TFC 2. And yeah, I mean, I think there's obviously reason to be optimistic with all those losses that they have on their record. You know, that's something to be looking forward to.
Yeah, they're currently 10th in the East with 8 points. We only have 3 points, but we also have a game in hand over them. So we've played 7 games, they've played 8. If we beat them here, that's basically a 3-point swing. And if we win that game in hand, we would be above them in the standings. So we aren't out of this yet by any stretch of the imagination. And this is a pretty big game. You know, a lot of fans have called, you know, specifically the Lansdowne game a must win. But I think that the way things are shaping up, you never want to call a game a must win. But considering the form that we're on, this is the best opportunity for us to get a win right now, and we could do it. I think we have the people to do it. We have the motivation to do it. We're at home.
I mean, this can change next week, but, you know, out of all the games we've played, I mean, this is the most must win. I mean, it's not, let's make no mistake. And like I said, yeah, I mean, this could, you know, if we lose this game, next week is
as long as we haven't won yet, every game is a must win game. But yeah, this is shaping up to be a decent opportunity. So we always like to talk about players to watch out for. The players on this list this week are the same as they were a few weeks ago when we played them, because really nothing has changed with TFC in terms of the way they play, the players who are seeing minutes. You know, Drew specifically mentioned Raheem Edwards, number 48. He's the one who scored on the PK. Basically, he was the one who tripped and fell as Mike Green was sort of kind of leaning into him to get that penalty. He leads their team with 4 goals, and he had an assist and a goal in the last game we played with him. He's that speedy winger. But otherwise, he has 4 goals, and they have a few other players that have 1 goal, but he's sort of their offense. You know,
which makes it that much easier to, plan a way to stop it. You know what I mean? If you have multiple attacking options, then it just becomes, you shut one player down and another player pops up. But hopefully that'll make things a bit more, maybe a bit more straightforward. Having such a clearly identifiable, threat. Hopefully we can shut him down. And from what I remember of him, he's not really a big physical guy either.
No. He's a small, speedy winger.
Yeah. So maybe, we don't need to necessarily worry about, a kind of multifaceted threat either. So
just let him run straight into Drew. He'll take the ball and go up the field. It'll be fine. Two other players, Adam Bouchard, who's number 37. I think last time we talked about this, I compared him to like a Michael Bradley type in that TFC system where he sits right in front of the defense as a midfielder and sort of distributes the ball up to the forwards from there. He's a big body. We talked about, sometimes it could be intimidating going up against a big body like that. Just go around him. We got this. And then the last one is Malik Johnson, who he's only 17 years old. He's speedy. Kev, he's the one who had that goal in the Montreal game that we our jaw dropped, where he dribbled through like 5 players from midfield and just slipped it past the goalie.
But even looking at that goal that he scored, I mean, I'm not necessarily too worried of that kind of stuff happening to us, especially with, we've been talking a lot about the high standard of performance with Willie Hunt and Campbell. It hasn't really happened to them yet this season. I haven't seen anyone go past our center backs like they weren't even there. I think Branson can sometimes maybe get caught out a bit. I think, that kind of happened last week against Cincy with the McLaughlin goal. I'm confident about that kind of stuff not happening, especially through the middle. The only slight worry I think I would have for this game is maybe out wide and maybe with that pace of Raheem Edwards.
So again, the game is this Saturday, 7 p.m. Highmark Stadium. It's Get Fit Night. So if you ride your bike to the game, you get $3 off. Again, we said we don't know if you just like put your bike in your car and walk it up. I don't know how they're checking, but, not to put any ideas out there.
They want that skin-tight suit. That's what they want.
Yes, show up in spandex and you get in for free. No, nobody from the front office approved that. The Steel Army is holding a blackout for both the game against Lansdowne Boys and against TFC 2. Just, wear black clothes as a show of unity behind the team. I don't know if you're going to the game, even if you're not in the Steel Army, it'd be kind of cool if everybody in the stadium was wearing black. That'd be awesome. If not, Steel Army specifically, if you're going, make sure you participate in the blackout. Kev, what do you think we should expect from this game?
Last time out against Cincy, I think we were looking or expecting Cincy to kind of come out fast. We were saying, first 15 minutes are big. And if we can weather that first 15 minutes, then we'll be in a decent position, which we did. To be fair, it just didn't kind of work out on the whole. In this game, I really don't see that happening. TFC2 aren't really on a run. They're not really scoring buckets of goals. They're scoring very little goals, actually, if you look at. They've scored 3 goals all season, if that, 2 goals maybe. So I don't see them coming out strong. I don't see them coming out throwing numbers forward. So in that respect, it's going to be a very different game, almost a completely opposite game from what we saw against Cincy last weekend. In that respect, maybe the drastic change is a little hard to acclimate to. But I'm looking for a more, I don't want to say a more dominant performance from the Riverhounds, but I think we can expect, and I think they can expect, to A, have more time in the ball, and B, I think, have more influence over how the game is played, if that makes sense.
No, I think that makes total sense. And I agree. I think this is a game that we got to come out on the front foot and not let TFC dictate the game, because TFC are reluctant to dictate the game. So if we're going to sit back and go, no, it's okay. It's okay. Yeah. You just come to us. Like, especially after, like you said, going into Cincinnati, and we thought we would sit back and let them dictate play. And we said, no, we're going straight at you. And that worked out well. That it was the old adage of playing defense by playing offense. We just kept the ball in front of us and we did okay. So yeah, I think we got a good shot here. Let's jump straight into predictions. What do you think is going to happen here?
I mean, it's, you know, I would feel weird predicting a win because
done it every game. So, no, we actually haven't done it every game so far. That's not so true. We predicted us. A few draws.
Maybe it's us, Mike. Maybe it's us.
No, we've said a few times that we should just shut it down because.
Yeah.
It's the curse of the Mongols. Yeah.
No. I thought you meant like shut it down by meaning like either A, park the bus, or B, just predict a 5-0 loss or something.
And oh, yeah. Maybe... No, I took it to the extreme. I said nuke the whole thing. We're the reason why.
Okay. So they haven't scored a lot. We haven't scored a lot. All signs point to a 0-0 draw. And... so I'm going to say a 0-0 draw.
You're going to say a 0-0 draw. Okay. I am going to say a 2-1 Hounds win.
I think, so here's another interesting question. How much do you think the Lansdowne boys game tomorrow on Wednesday will have an effect on this upcoming game against TFC2 in two respects? If we get a positive result, how much do you think that can maybe give us some momentum going into this game? And B, I mean, we talked a bit about on our last podcast about what kind of lineup we would expect against Lansdowne boys. You know, if we do play a bunch of starters and then we want to play them again on against TFC2, you know, how is that going to affect how we come out in the game? Are we going to look at maybe a bit leggy and things like that? So I don't know. Yeah, do you see this Lansdowne boys game having a massive influence on the TFC2 game? Because I don't know. Let's say even if we win 2-1 against Lansdowne boys, I don't know how much confidence we can take from that. Because it's not like we're beating like a top USL side. I think at least internally, you know, they might not say it, but internally in the locker room, I think they're expecting a dominant performance and a win.
Yes. I think the thing about Lansdowne is they're dangerous because they have nothing to lose. They're coming to Pittsburgh thinking like they're looking at the Hounds. Their coach, there were some articles out that their coach was making comments about the fact that there are some things that he's seen with the Hounds they think they can exploit. They think they basically have to play their absolute best in order to beat the Hounds. But when you've got nothing to lose and they're coming to Highmark, they're playing in this beautiful stadium, like they're going to be all jacked up. Ready to go. And apparently a number of their players, their coach, now I don't know how true this is, their coach said that he was considering signing Romeo Parks before the Hounds signed him at the beginning of the season. Apparently there's a number of players that are USL level players that are playing for Lansdowne, and they're looking to eventually try to make their way up through the amateur system to get to something like the USL or the NASL. So that being said, you know, our buddy Elizabeth basically came out and said that there will be riots if the Hounds don't win this game. So I think that we don't want to look past this game, but I think what we have to do is we go out, we take care of business in the first half, and then we start to get some subs in, get them some playing time. So I don't see fatigue being an issue when it comes to TFC. Mentally, you know, if you come out and you only get a 2-1 win when you're expecting a 4-0 or 5-0 or whatever, how does that play into it? I think getting a win, getting that monkey off our back is going to do wonders regardless of what the score is. So if it's like, hey, we can score goals and we can win games regardless of who they're against, that takes a little bit of the pressure off going into TFC2, which is going to make us play a little bit looser. And I think we're going to see more scoring changes. So I don't, if we lose this game, you know, if we lose this game and it's like 5-4 and we're able to put some goals in, then maybe you're more positive than if we lose this game and it's like a 1-0 loss.
I mean, I think heads are going to be down if we lose this game, no matter what the score is, I think. I
yes.
mean, it's going to, and I don't know. Yeah. It's that, then that swings. I mean, I hate to even talk about the possibility of a loss against tomorrow, but then that kind of swings it either one of two ways against TFC. We either come out extremely angry or we come out extremely deflated. But I don't know. I guess my point in bringing this topic up is I don't know how much of a confidence boost a win on Wednesday, I think, does for this team going into TFC2. I don't know if that's significant or not, or I don't know. It was just a thought I had that
it's
interesting to talk about.
In some ways, it's two totally different things. So it's like one has zero impact on the other. But at the same time, considering this run of form, you know, psychologically, if you get a win, that's good regardless of what happens.
Yeah, so. Games across seasons aren't ever out of context, I think.
Yes.
So,
yeah. And, you know, to your point, I was listening back through the TFC2 recap show from last time, and I believe your quote was, you were nervous because we had played two games and we only had one win, and we said, it's only two games. And your line was, if we're five games in and we only have 3 points, we're in trouble. And so here we are, seven games in, on three points. So,
we're
but
in
I trouble. I think your point in saying that was, as a team, we need to learn how to win. So if we can get one win, that's a building block. If we can get another win against TFC2, that's another stepping stone. That's another building block. And I think that both of those are achievable. I mean, I know every game we go into and we're like, we can win this game. That's because we can. We haven't. We can. But like I said, I think that looking at the form TFC2 is in, this is a prime opportunity to go out and get a W. This isn't like we're playing Louisville or, you know, Red Bulls again, which they're coming up on the schedule very quickly. But let's go out and take care of business. So don't forget, you know, send us your questions, comments, thoughts. Let us know what you thought of the Drew Russell interview. If there's somebody in particular you'd like us to talk to and you have some questions, send them our way. We're going to try to get as many of the players on this season as we can. So depending upon who you want to see, that might influence who we get on sooner rather than later. If you liked, you know, hearing Drew or Corey or Hunter and you want to have them back on, let us know. We'll have them back on. They all
and let
really
them know.
Them.
Yeah, they have Twitter accounts.
Let them know.
Shoot
just say,
them
hey,
up and
you're great. I love you.
Yeah.
I love Liverpool. Let us
know. I haven't already done that like five times. But
yes. So you can reach us on Twitter at Mongols, email hal@mongols.com. Again, anything we read or say on the show that's attributed to you gets you entered to win a Hounds jersey. Kev, anything else you want to talk about?
I think that's it.
Awesome. Well, Hounds, go out. Let's get two wins this week. Like we said, by the time you guys get this, we'll know the fate of one of the games, most likely. So hopefully, you know, we're using some mental powers here to influence the win. And let's take it to TFC2. Get out there, get to the game, and we will talk to you very, very soon.
Cheers.